Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between, and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Ms. Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tees.
This is episode 60, everyone. So, of course, since it's a multiple of five, shout out to our girl, Sister Indica.
Hey, Indica.
You guys can catch Sister Indica here on Podomatic. Check her out on the Joy Bomb podcast. We frequently will flip-flop occasionally with her for number one. Mm-hmm. So check her out. I know that girl must be getting some good numbers of listens because, you guys, we got 4,000 listens in 2 days. Sunday and Monday, we got 4,000 listens in 2 days.
Sickening.
Yes, I think, you know what? Even Shishi LaRue was like, wow. She was surprised by that shit. I was like, well, girl, people listen. You know, I think that she just sort of like thought, oh, I'll do Pollo.
It's like, just going to be like a little charity work. Whatever, you know.
But a few thousand people is nothing to sneeze at, girl.
At all.
So, you guys.
So that's, girl, in 2 days, 8,000 people. Sickening.
Yep. No, that's 4,000 people in 2 days, girl.
Oh, I thought you said 4,000 people both days.
No, no. 2,500 on Sunday. I should clarify. So 2,500 on Sunday, 1,500 on Monday.
Okay. Well, so, not as sickening as I thought, but still sickening.
But girl, that is still pretty sickening. You figure a couple thousand people a day or 1,000 a day is like...
Yeah. You know, I'll take it.
Exactly. We're around 10,000 listens a week, generally, between 8 and 10,000 listeners a week. So that means our family is growing. So thank you guys all for everything you've done to support us. Speaking of supporting us, we had to go out and buy ourselves a new microphone. So I hope that this
about sound... time
the old
might
one
we all add was too much drama.
The old one was drama. So you guys, later in this episode, we have a what would have been a really, really sickening interview with Grace from Clean Bandit, the Grammy-winning group who just hit like number one all around the world with their single Rockabye. And I saw her in concert last night. I saw the whole group, actually, in concert last night.
Yeah, I think I saw your tweets about it.
Yeah, girl. The show was incredible. It was Starley, who is a new Australian artist who's breaking out all over the world with her big debut single. And then Zara Larsson.
Who's huge right now.
She is huge. And she's so good live. Her live show is super good. And then Clean Bandit. Anyway, so Grace and I sat down today and... the microphone and my computer were giving us so much grief. It's like, it's going to be like a Franken interview for you guys. I'm going to have to piece it together and whatever, but it's really good. But
oh, that's what you meant by that message you sent me.
Yes, girl.
I didn't know what the hell you were talking about. Well, okay, got it.
So yeah, I sent Pearl a message being like, God, this interview would have been amazing if not for my computer. But... there's some good things and bad things about all of this. So we got, the good thing is that we finally got to speak with Grace. It's been weeks in the making, and part of what contributed to some of the issues that we had is that we were scheduled to meet or to speak at one time at like 1:30 in the afternoon. So I set that time aside. And then when that wasn't going to, then I got a notification that they were still on their tour bus going from here to LA. So we pushed it back to 2:50. And at 2:50, I wasn't home. So I was, like, sitting in the parking lot of some, like, burger joint off of South Market, South Van Ness Street, like, in the corner. And the lap, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, except the, like, you know, guys, we've kind of mentioned it before, but we sort of have to have, like, that old microphone just sort of, like, dangling in just the right way, and the cord is all fussy, and it was a fright. So we'll see how that, I haven't even listened back to it yet, but I know that a lot of it's good. And if you get a chance to see Clean Bandit, Zara Larsson, and Starley in tour here in North America, by all means, go. The show was incredible. So,
sickening.
Yeah. Oh, and Pearl and I were talking about this briefly off the air, but...
Stay tuned, you guys.
Stay tuned. We may... We're tiptoeing towards getting ourselves a new recording setup here, meaning I hopefully will be getting a new computer. We're working to secure a date for our Lube Wrestling.
Right, which means it's definitely going to happen. We just need to get these dates together for y'all. Yeah,
so Jeff and Beth at the San Francisco Eagle are looking into a date for us, and once we get that, we'll tell you, but it's going to be super fun, and...
Which I think is amazing, by the way. The Eagle is, like, literally one of the only real... I mean, there's a few... There's, like, maybe three. But the Eagle is, like, the only real gay bar that I actually hang out at.
Well, the Eagle... I mean, yeah, I guess, like, technically it's a gay bar. But every time I go there, it's packed with everyone. There's, like, a little of everything.
Well, it's mostly LGBT.
Right, yeah, but that when you said gay bar, like, I know how you, like, think about the word gay, so...
Yeah, no, most definitely.
I actually, so I took that as a little more literal gay than you actually meant it, but... Because the one thing I love about the San Francisco Eagle, girl, go on a Sunday afternoon when it's warm outside.
Amazing!
Everyone is there, girl.
I love it.
It's the whole spectrum is represented, and then some, probably. So... We're looking at a Saturday afternoon, maybe as early as May, maybe in June, but the sooner the better, because it's very important that we do this quickly, because one of my dear friends, I've known her, and she's been so supportive of my drag, because she only has ever really known me as Pollo, but her name is Sonia, and she lives in Hawaii, so shout out to Sonia and her wife, Karen. And so they have offered, like, a nice little hookup. For maybe a discount on a new computer. So, like, they've got some connections that they're going to work for me if we can get this done quickly. So, please, y'all, prayer circle for real, though.
Right. Seriously, like, fingers crossed.
Yeah. And if not, if this doesn't happen... Girl, did you just burp?
No. No.
I could have sworn you were like...
No, you guys should have seen the look she gave it. She gave me, like, this most horrible... I did not burp, girl. That was not
because,
me.
Because I
stopped... That was probably one of the animals in the zoo, girl.
No, girl. No. Now, burping on air is something I would totally do by accident, which is why I was in the middle of something, and I heard some bizarre sound from her, and it, like, caught me by surprise, which is
It
like,
was not me. What? Anyway.
Which is why she got the crazy stink eye, like, oh, no, you didn't. Anyway, so... If we can't get this shit set up soon, you guys, we are going to have to really go the GoFundMe route.
Right.
But the way I would think of it is more of a sponsorship drive where you guys, there's a lot of you out there listening. So I'm like, give us $10 or $20 or whatever you think we're worth.
I mean, like, even a dollar, if we're getting like 4,000 listeners in 2 days, even a dollar from each.
Yeah, girl. Like
$4,000, girl.
Yeah. So...
I'll take it.
I mean, we would definitely take it. You know, some of those bitches would be like, are you kidding me, ho? Right. I can't even tell. But, like, nonetheless, it would be nice, you know, I'm the type of person, I don't know, like, we know so many people. It's been, a subject on this podcast before. It's been a subject on our Facebook and local circles.
Wait, is that Lube over there?
Yes, girl. Maybe Lube? Yes. Oh, we'll get to that, too. They're literally... There is a mountain of lube in my bed right now, like gallons.
Right.
Girl, look. Like, hold on.
I saw that, girl, but I wasn't going to say nothing because, you know, ain't no shame in nobody's game.
Oh, no, honey. I just put down a giant 32-ounce pump bottle of Swiss Navy premium silicone lubricant.
Girl, that pump bottle, girl, makes it real easy to come out. Yes,
honey. I'm like, when I'm over there about to yank my yummy in the night, I'm like, just to say before I go to... Oh.
What? I can't. I'm not touching this bottle, you guys.
When you're about to yank your yummy in the night, you got the pump bottle, and you just reach over and you're like, boop, one little boop of it, and next thing you know, you're like,
ew, what, you guys?
Anyway, stop it, Drewy. How about Drew is trying to eat some lube? Get out of the lube.
See her zoo.
So anyway, so what was I saying? Oh. There's a lot of people, like, you know, who like, do all of these things, but I just really have a hard time. I think that's where we were. I don't know. We got sidetracked. I have just a really hard time. Like, I'm a very, like, do-it-myself type of person.
That's how, like, I am, too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for help if you need help.
Right.
But girls asking for vacations and, like, girl, I need a new wig.
Right.
And, like, I just, I'm just too lazy. So, yeah, that's always difficult for me. But in this situation, like, you know, we're providing a service. And that is one thing in the past when I've, like, when I've found myself sort of, like, in need of money, I'll be like, okay, I would normally give these away for free, but anybody who wants an immediate makeup lesson or something, like, I'll pay, you know, I'll give you a service if you'll want to contribute some money. Not to be mistaken with, I will service you if you want to give me some money. Because that's a different, that's the oldest profession, the world's oldest profession, but I have really not participated in that. Anyway, so, but because of the fact that, you know, we are trying to raise money, and of course we've got our great sponsor, Ellen Friedman, and the people at Swiss Navy Lube. We got lube everywhere. Hold on, I'm going to grab this lube for you, Pearl. You can look through it, bitch.
Do they have, like, a special pink one for me?
Girl, oh, wait.
What is this? Health supplement.
Girl, oh. Girl, go in there. There's the one you want is in that box.
Now I'm scared, girl.
No, serious.
Let's see.
Oh, shit. Sorry, y'all.
Chocolate. Chocolate bliss.
Bitch, wait. Keep going. There's some other delish.
Okay. Flavored lubricant, girl. That's... Okay. Fast act size male enhancement. All right. Strawberry kiwi.
That's the one I was... That's the one, the first one that came to mind when I saw it for you.
I love strawberry. Actually, kiwi is... I used... Okay, when... Before I transitioned, when people would offer me fruit, I'd always say I'm good. I'm fruity enough.
Oh.
Because I don't... I was not... I'm not really, like, a fruit person. But kiwi is my favorite fruit. I will take this.
Take it, girl. But take it.
I don't know how I feel about, like, flavored lube. I hear it's not good for your parts. Like, for anal... Like, right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. Read it on the back. Let's see what does it say. I can't read, girl, because that's
small. Let's see, directions. Apply as desired to area to be lubricated. If irritation occurs, discontinue use immediately.
I mean, why would you use... My thing is, like, that's clearly something you put on your cooch or maybe on your pee-pee.
Right.
Because
right.
You want somebody to taste it. I mean, I guess you could put it on your ass, too, because I like people to taste that shit. Hey!
I heard that, girl.
You better get up in there like... Oh, like
I guess, girl, but I... Well, you know, I... You, right.
So, oh, and another thing, you guys, I cannot believe. So, speaking of yanking my yummy and such, as I was earlier, I have been taking these Swiss Navy...
What is wrong with you, Poyo?
What?
Okay, let's see what you got in here.
No, this one, this is the same thing, but this is the one I've been taking.
Daily supplements for sexual health, male enhancement. Girl, what do you...
I've been taking Ejacumax, you guys.
Why?
Because, let me tell you something, it really works.
Well, what does it do?
It increases the amount of your...
Cum?
Yes, girl.
Is there something wrong with the amount that you produce?
No, honey, it's not, but, like, let me tell you, When I yank my yummy now using my Swiss Navy silicone lubricant...
It hits you in the face.
Girl, it's like, whoosh, geyser. And it also, for some reason, makes you feel extra, like... Yes!
I can't. But why would I get, you know...
It's something, like, I, honest to God, would have never gone out and tried this. But Ellen and Swiss Navy sent us tons of stuff. So I'm like, I wanted to try it all.
I don't think I should use this.
No pain, no gain grease.
What is that? Let me see this.
I don't know if it maybe is it fisting lube.
That's probably exactly
Ellen literally said, "Honey, there is a lubricant for everything." That's what she told me. So this is good God, I don't know.
It doesn't really tell you.
Basically, it just says, put it wherever you want lubricated, girl.
But, girl, it's grease.
Good for you, honey. Oh, and she
spray also spray bottles.
These are toy and body cleaner.
Oh.
So, if you, like...
Really good pep. I probably could use one.
The only if you use silicone-based lube, because that's what it comes...
Yep.
Okay.
I mean...
50% for you, 50% for me.
This is called product quality control, girl.
Yes, girl. This is called product endorsement. How can I tell you how wonderful Swiss Navy...
This is already kind of wet, though, girl.
Oh, that's probably because I was touching it when I was yanking my yummy.
Girl, it was in plastic.
It was. Girl, everything is... Everything's a little greasy.
Yeah, girl, we're going to be all, like, lubed up and shiny.
I told you,
this podcast is over.
We were going to be, like, you know.
But what is all this size enhancement
stuff? Girl, I don't know, but I'm going to be taking it.
You are such a mess. I live, though.
I'll just, what? Ooh, it says, fast acting, increased firmness and fullness, maximized pleasure and heightened stimulation.
You know, I have some partners that I would love. I mean, I don't want to say this on air, but I'm going to say it.
They need a bigger dick, honey. She needs
just, There's
just a few.
Yeah.
Poor things. So, anyway, we got this first shipment from Ellen. When she gets back from Australia, I'm sure we'll be getting more.
Give me a masturbation cream. Longest lasting non... Okay. Okay, girl, they really
I'm telling you, they hooked us up. And you guys, we are going to be doing giveaways. Pearl and I really need to figure out a giveaway for how to,
If you guys have suggestions, send us a message. I don't know.
Send us... Well, let me tell you something.
Oh, you know what we could do? We could do what, like, those Instagram people do. Like, you have to follow them on both on all their social media platforms and then share their post or whatever.
We need to do that. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. We posted a lot of stuff, right, on our social media. And some people will comment or whatever. Girl, I posted a photo of all this lube and said, stay tuned for... information.
Girl, that's what I'm about to do right now.
Stay tuned for how to win and a collection of this. And I got dozens of responses. Straight people, my friends from my middle school were like, how can a straight guy get in on this action?
I'm a little scared. Like, I'm a little scared to put this on my own Instagram, though, because...
Y'all, I took one big bottle of lube and some Ejacumax. Pearl done stuffed everything in the world.
I'm not taking this. I promise you I'm not taking this. This is probably... I was going to take a picture and put it on my Instagram.
This bottle, this 32-ounce bottle, retails for like...
$80.
Yeah, $80. And it comes with a nice little... you guys, this sounds like the longest commercial ever, but we're actually...
Right.
We're just really actually intrigued by
it's
all this
exciting.
Shit. It is exciting because...
What's
girl,
in here?
That's just...
Oh, that's grease.
That was the box you just gave me.
I definitely like, don't want the grease.
So, but it was exciting. Girl, when it came, I was like, yes! And then my neighbor upstairs, y'all have a 71-year-old woman who lives upstairs, and she's like, you've got a huge box of to arrive for you in the mail. And I was like, it's lube. And she was like, oh, wow. Dear. I said, you better get it by the caseload.
I just want to smell this.
Smell it. I bet it smells good.
Oh, my. It smells like candy, you guys.
Yeah.
Smell it.
Yep. Smells like candy. I'm going to smell this chocolate one. Oh, my God. It smells really good. It really smells like... It smells like chocolate.
It does, that one's a little overwhelming, though.
But, girl, how about these people, when we give this stuff away, people will be like, why is my lube up? And be like, we were sniffing it, bitch.
Right.
Like, we had to fuck... Girl, like, this is... Anyway, we will be doing some major giveaways. We have multiple 32-ounce bottles of lube available. Those are $80 each. These are Jacumax. I checked it out, girl. The Jacumax was $30. I was like, yes. And then, as soon as I discovered that, I took some pills, yanked my yummy.
Oh, girl, my God. The day was good. She said the entire day, bitch.
Anyway.
So, if our listeners were just interested in going online and buying some of this stuff, where would they go?
I'm guessing, well, I think that probably the easiest way to get these products is just go to any of your local retailers who, you know, because Swiss Navy is a very, very popular brand. And what I will tell you is that this isn't just for your sexual pleasure, you guys. Do you know that when I'm getting in drag, I use Swiss Navy's silicone-based lubricant, just like a little dab of it on my fingers as a makeup primer?
You are such a mess.
No, girl. Anybody who out there who knows what a makeup primer is, it's a silicone base. And it goes on and it smooths into the creases or wrinkles in your face, any uneven areas. And then it makes the makeup go over it more smoothly without kind of like filling in the creases and like caking up inside it. So, girl, that's what it is.
Okay.
It looks flawless.
Is this silicone based?
I don't think so.
I want to try one that's not silicone based because I have a silicone.
This is a cream lubricant. I don't think this is silicone based at
all.
What
is okay? So we needed like a class. What is
so? This does have petroleum in it. But which I don't know.
Isn't that not good? Is that not
I don't know. I don't know if it's good for condoms. That's why it's for jacking off.
Well, you know.
I mean, it's for like rubbing your lady bits.
Oh, it's closed.
So, anyway.
Anyway.
Something else you know you can do with a silicone-based lubricant? If you got nappy wigs, girl, put a little bit on your hands.
I think I've seen you guys do this shit backstage.
And I do. Of course you have. Like, you put a little bit on your hands. I'm not talking a lot because you do not want a jerry curl. Put a little bit on your hands and then smooth it through the wigs. And then when you run a brush through it, it helps detangle it much more easily.
Right. Now, and for you queens that are listening, if you get this scented stuff, this strawberry kiwi for those wigs, girl, they will just smell fabulous when you whip it back and forth.
Yeah, well, when you whip it back and forth. But I think that's water-based, isn't it?
It is water-based.
Water-based. Yeah, sorry, don't do it, bitches. Your hair will be dreaded up, but you'll smell delish.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, yeah, and it's great. Like, it also, like, let's say you don't want your hair to be, like, it's not all tangled up or whatever, but sometimes you put a little too much hairspray in it, it will make it shimmer. Like, it'll make it shine. It'll give it that nice...
You know, I used to have this lubricant that was flavored before, and what you put it on, and if you blew it, it would warm up.
I have some of that.
I wonder if this is that, too.
I don't know about that, because... I did not like that product. I still have it. It was a long time ago.
I had that years ago.
I have, like...
Probably never got it
you
again.
You guys, I've gotten so many different kinds of... I've had so many different kinds of lubricants. And I tried them and this and that. And some... One I didn't like because it straight up smelled like cloves. I didn't know that.
Oh.
Like, who wants your fucking sniz to smell like cloves? Yuck.
Girl, it's dripping. I saw the drip.
It's beckoning to me. It's like, you haven't yanked your yummy today, honey.
Just a mess.
So, anyway, we have a lot of these products, and we will be giving them away, you guys, in the very near future. Of course, we need to save some of this. Oh, well, I'm sure that Ellen will send us more when she gets back from Australia.
Ellen, girl, like...
for our lube wrestling, girl, because imagine this big old bottle dumped up in there. Bitches be slipping and sliding.
You'll need a lot more than that.
Girl. Have you ever put that? Have you ever tried it?
But we want them covered in it.
Girl, that will cover them. They'll be like,
ah! I think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm planning on, like, taking a bottle, and then while they're wrestling, like, flipping around, I'm going to dump it on them.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so we will have more about these giveaways. I don't want you guys to... I do apologize, because we went on and on about this, but right. We just got to go through our shipment together here. It's been in my living room for, like, the better part of a week now. This bottle, you knew it was never going to survive up in here, girl.
Well, I don't know why you need it that much, girl.
Well, I opened the big one, but this is a great thing about these big ones. They come with, like, a small, like, it's...
refillable thing. This is so cute!
Look at this one!
Oh, that's cute. That's it's for like, on the go.
It's for on the go. You put it in your hoe bag.
I live. But
yeah, it's a little one. I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's the premium lubricant.
Oh, yeah, this is the premium anal lubricant.
I want to know what the different...
It literally says premium anal lubricant.
Well, girl, you know.
Honey. You, as Ellen said, if there's a body part, there's a lube that goes on it, girl.
I live.
So, all right. Enough about that. We are going to have more Party Foul Radio very shortly. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to do a little bit of gossip. I wanted to know, have you been watching RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Course. So we can talk. I finally caught up last night, you guys. Pearl and I will be back in a moment to catch you up on our thoughts for season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, followed by the return of the amazing Kim Sims. Her new song, Turn It Up, is finally out, and Pearl and I are going to be in the music video for it. So,
all right.
We'll be back with all that and Clean Bandit later in this hour with more Party Call Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
We'll be back in a sec.
Hallelujah, this is Shangela, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio with Polio and Pearl. Hallelujah.
Clock the bag.
Clock the bag.
Clock the shoe.
Clock the shoe.
Now punch the clock. It's time to work.
All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
We're still going on and on and privately about the lubes. So, anyway, last night, I finally sat down and watched the first two episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race on demand. I can rejoin the gay world, the queer world.
Have you also seen the Untucked?
I have not seen the Untucked.
Okay.
So, but my best friend Jim Jarrell said that, in his opinion, as with the last couple years, the actual Untucked episodes on YouTube are better than the episodes themselves, which is always the case because that's where you get to see all the drama.
Yeah, and you know what? So when I started watching it, I said, I'm not going to watch the Untucked. I kind of just want to see the competition.
Uh-huh.
But I did watch the second episode's Untucked, which was good.
So, okay, so run down, like, when you got to meet the girls initially, I mean, at this point, we've only lost, there's been two episodes, it was a cliffhanger ending, we only have lost one girl at this point.
And we've gained.
Gained one. But, as of your first two viewings, what are your opinions of the girls that we've got on this season?
I think, well, for one, I think it's amazing that they brought Cynthia Lee Fontaine back, because, spoiler alert, if we didn't let you know, I mean, y'all should have known. So, I think it's amazing that they brought her back, because of what she was going through and stuff, you know, before.
Right. I mean, but she, like, the thing, you guys, so, as Pearl has indicated, if you watched the episodes or if you followed information about Cynthia Lee Fontaine post RuPaul's Drag Race season 8, she was diagnosed with liver cancer, stage 1.
Yeah.
She went through chemo. She's in remission. And they brought her back. In my opinion, it's the feel-good story for the season. You know what I mean? And it's actually a... They, of course, they played out the HIV card. Everybody was like, we get it. Drag queens have AIDS. So, whatever. But... Like, you know.
I did not say that, girl. That was all Pollo, just for anyone who wants to get mad.
Pearl's like, oh, God. She was shaking her head and rolling her like, oh, no, girl, we're going to be a backlash. But they have played that story a few times now. Yeah, you know, it's been done. So this is a new illness that they can exploit. And with a person who has been proven to be, like, a real favorite of people on the show. So. Yeah. They brought Cynthia Lee Fontaine back after the first actual episodes competition, and that's great. I'm happy to see her, but my first thought was, fuck, we're going to hear cuckoo every 2 seconds.
Do you want to see my cuckoo? Are you ready for my cuckoo?
And let's say she did not disappoint.
Right.
Like, welcome to the stage, Cynthia Cuckoo Lee Cuckoo Fontaine Cuckoo. Right. Her cuckoo! So, now, aside from Cynthia Lee Fontaine, what are your thoughts on the rest of the girls? I think we've gotten a really pretty accurate representation of, I think, who they're going to be throughout the season.
Right, already. I think so. I'm really, I don't know, there are some girls that, you know, I think really already should go home, and, you know, that have worn the same fucking thing on the stage every goddamn challenge already.
Pearl really hates Kimora Lee.
Kimora
Black.
I mean, really... girl, she wore the same thing when she arrived. She wore the same thing for the Gaga challenge. She wore the same thing for... there was another challenge for the Gaga challenge.
Well,
and then she wore the same thing for the all-white, just in white. Which it wasn't even all-white, girl. It was a mess. Girl.
So, but you guys, there's a backstory here. Pearl went to school with Kimora, or went to the same high school as Kimora, and there's some history there.
But I mean, even with that being said, girl, she wore the same thing. And it's all like, it's all stuff that you could buy at a stripper store.
So,
which is like, her outfits cost no more than $20 each.
Okay, so I don't have anything. I'm not predisposed to disliking her. In fact, I've been very excited. I've been pretty vocally excited.
She's beautiful.
She's really beautiful.
She's got some, from what I understand, some crooked surgery here and there.
Well.
But I think she's gorgeous.
She really is. She's very beautiful.
But her outfits are all the same and cheap.
Well, right. So I did point out on Twitter that I didn't notice, like, what she arrived in, per se. But I definitely noticed that her Gaga look and the white party look were the exact same outfit, with one being black and one being white. It was almost identical, right down to the fact that she wore a biker's hat with the Gaga look.
Right.
And she wore a, like,
sailor hat.
A captain's hat.
Yeah, whatever.
Which, by the way, the captain's hat straight from Party City, because I have that exact same captain's hat.
$20, girl!
But, you know, like, the part that I found disconcerting about her is when she was like, I've always thought stoning was for lazy, or for ugly people.
Damn bitch.
And I said, well, you know, that outfit would be a lot more impressive if it was stoned. Like, your outfit would look a lot more interesting if it was stoned. So maybe she'll look into...
And then she was also complaining about sewing and all that stuff. Girl, get out.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It'll be very interesting. Like I said, a while back, I had already heard, before this show ever started airing, that both she and Farrah, both being from Vegas, are quite a pill.
Like, yeah, but you know you what? Know, Farrah is very gorgeous also, but at least she's not, like, irritating.
Well, I don't remember who it was. Oh, Peppermint was irritated by her from Go, basically, right. When she was like, she's like, where's my station? Blah, blah. Find a fucking station, bitch. They're there for you. It's not like they're assigned. Just pick one, bitch.
Right.
But, so,
And speaking of which, Peppermint, I think it's exciting that she's on the show. I do feel like I do have hopes that for future seasons, they're not afraid to cast a trans woman who is a little bit more, like, purposefully sexy. I feel like they've casted her kind of sort of because she's an entertainer that isn't, like...
Well, she flies under the radar of being trans,
exactly.
too.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's exactly kind of, like, why they've chosen her.
Okay, so I...
But that's not to say that she's not talented or anything like that at all.
Okay, so that brings up... This is not really related to our impressions of the actual casting, which I hope we'll get back to in a second, but... what are your thoughts on the recent, like, complaints or airing of concerns that now that Peppermint is trans and on the show, that they need to change the verbiage, like, gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win?
You know, I think that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. But I do know that as a trans woman, if I was sitting there and you're calling me a gentleman... I'd be like, bitch, do you not see me right here? But then it goes back to, like, Peppermint being someone who can go under the radar of being trans.
Right. You know? She's had less surgeries done than many of the other contestants on this season, by the way, you guys.
Right. I do think now that the season's over, she's gotten her boobs done. I'm not sure.
I think so. So... This is my thought on the situation.
I think it would be respectful if they change it if they're going to have trans people or women on the show.
So my perspective on this is that it's about the desire for inclusion, and trans people have been saying for years now that they would like to be represented on this show. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be represented on the show, you know what you're getting into. You know the verbiage they're using. They already eliminated the she-male thing, which I thought was very funny. It was clearly, like, not intended to be disrespectful. It was a tongue-in-cheek play on words. And so if you want to be included and you're pushing for inclusion, you know what you're getting into. Like, if they're going to change the rules to allow for representation of the trans community.
But are they really changing the rules? Because...
But I'm not saying they are or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is if they do, if they allow for trans women to be represented as contestants...
Which they are.
Then trans women understand that this is part of the verbiage of the game. This is how it's represented. This is how it's presented. So either you choose to be part of that or you don't. If it's offensive to you... My opinion would be, like, if it's offensive that that's how it's treated, then don't apply. Like,
That's like saying just settling for something you're not okay with.
Well, or not. Like, either take... I mean, I think it's a situation where I think that people should be allowed to do what they're going to do, but I don't think always special accommodations need to be made. Like, if I'm allowed to go somewhere, I don't think... And there, you know, it's like... There's a certain wording or something, unless it's intended to be offensive, then, and I want to be part of it, then I have to know that it's just part of what I'm getting into. Like, because it's a decision, like, it's a decision for a person to be part of something when they know that the wording is what it is and has been for many, many years now. It'll be season 10, like the next time they're casting season 10 right now, you guys. So if 10 years in, you think that you want to participate in something, but then they should change what you want to participate in to accommodate you. It doesn't, mm-hmm. it does not seem logical to me.
Well, I mean, a lot of people have an issue with just them having a trans woman on the show, period.
I have no issue with there being a trans woman. I would have a far greater issue if there was a woman who had breasts and other things of that nature. I would.
Girl, please. I've seen, there have been men on the show that have hips done that don't need to wear pads.
Right now, there's one.
Right. Like, so, I mean, I definitely don't have a problem with a woman going on with titties.
I mean,
it's the same thing. You just don't have to stuff that area.
I think it's a little different. I mean, I think that it certainly allows for, you know, I think
outfits. But girl, look at Detox, who had her ass done, and now she could wear outfits with her ass completely out, which you can't do in pads.
No, I can't. I mean, but I think that there has to be. I think that for this situation, there has to be like reasonable lines, like. Okay, your ass is one thing, but breasts, I mean...
What's the difference between the two, besides where they're located?
I think that it's about the fact that there has to be something distinguishing between the two. Honestly, my perspective is, I think, and I wish that Logo had the, like, intestinal fortitude, the courage and guts, to make an entire show that was, like, for trans women to be, like, you know, the world's next show, ultimate show goddess, or, you know, whatever, where that was something that was like the Continental pageant, for example, which is geared towards trans women, and it would open it, so, you know, because I don't always think that separate but equal is the answer. In fact, I don't usually think that is the case, but I think that there are some areas where you have to be able to try to, like, I mean, there are already so many fucking variables going into this show, like, is it the camp queen, or is it the pretty queen, is it the this queen, is it that queen? Like, when you start adding things that, like, really, really differentiate one person from it, then it just opens a Pandora's box of issues, I think. So I would really love to see a show exclusive to showgirls.
I don't know, girl. I mean, even with that being said, there's queens that on the show that don't even wear titties.
All the time, girl.
So, I mean, I like I said, I don't see anything wrong with having titties on the show.
So, okay. Another situation where we kind of disagree. It's okay. You know, actually, it's funny because I did a radio interview with a gentleman, which I would like to talk about this more later, but I told him that one of the most fulfilling parts of our show for me is that hopefully Pearl and I model for listeners and other people out there that you can totally love one another and like each other and enjoy spending time together, but you don't have to agree on everything. There's some things where you're like, okay, we just don't agree.
Right.
You know? So, back to the situation actually at hand. Like, do you have standout favorites for yourself from this season?
Shay Coulee is kind of cool.
Bomb. I love her.
I kind of really love her. I think she is, like, the one I think I'm gunning for right now. I kind of...
Rooting,
like,
for or gunning for?
Well, rooting for, girl. She's, like, my favorite right now. I don't think... They're featuring Charlie Hyde enough for me to, like, get a sense of who she is.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's someone that I would like.
Right.
To see more of. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
I
wanted to like Alexis Michelle.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I think the way that they're showing her isn't always in her best light. And I don't think that's entirely her fault. So I don't know when it comes to her.
So, okay. So we are spot on with Shay Coulee. Like, Shay Coulee, I have become familiar with because she is really close friends of the Feast of Fun podcast, mm-hmm. With Fausto Fernos, and based in Chicago. And she's on there often. And I became aware of her because one time they brought her on to talk about one of my YouTube videos and, like, some tips I was giving to newer queens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I became really familiar with her. But I haven't seen a lot of her, but I think she's so fierce. Of course, I love Peppermint. I think Peppermint is really pretty. And, like, I was really touched by the personal story they told about when she was a cheerleader and she mm-hmm. got beat up by the basketball team and everything.
My heart drops out to my cuckoo.
And I really like her. I am ultra intrigued by Nina Bobina Brown. Because...
I like her too, actually.
So this is one of the reasons why I love Nina Bobina Brown, you guys.
No, Nina Bonina Osama Bin Laden Brown.
So it's like, there's like 50 names. Yeah,
I love it.
So one of the reasons why I love her is because of the fact that traditionally on Drag Race...
She's a transformer.
Traditionally on Drag Race, they cast girls, like, we've got a number of them on this season that are the glamour queens, and then they cast a number that are the camp queens.
Oh, wait, I forgot. I'm sorry to cut you off. I love Trinity Taylor, too. I think Trinity Taylor is amazing. Trinity Taylor's
she's the one from Orlando who, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like she is so polished. I feel like she's so polished.
Well, I know that MGM Grand loves her, too.
She's MGM Grand. So I'm going to take my it's between her and Shea Coulee as far as my favorites.
So, the reason I love Nina Bobina, Nina Brown, Bobina Brown, is because she is neither glamour or camp or art. She's kind of all of the above. If you go to her Instagram page, she can do a traditional drag face as good as the next girl.
Right.
And then the bitch can come out as a fucking Georgia peach.
Right.
You know? Or she can come out in as a mouse. And she... has that ability to be kind of anything, and
I feel like she'd do a sickening Jafari.
Oh, girl, you like isn't she the one who showed up as like
a mouse?
No, like at the premiere, I think that she was the one who was dressed sort of like I want to say an ape, but if that's not what she was, then it's
she was. She had like a monkey kind of like.
It reminded me of the one who announces the birth of the Lion King. Whatever his name is. So
that was kind of a weird choice, by the way, but, on her part.
But
everyone talked about it.
But the thing about it too is the fact that one of the things that they honed in on right away is that she has an artistic point of view. It's like, you know, drag is, she said she likes to do it as an art form. And in the past, you've gotten the girls who are like these, I'm trying to think of Acid Betty or whatever, who don't do traditional, but they do like kind of like outrageous drag.
She's kind of closer to like mastered cosplay.
It's pretty incredible. I'm really intrigued by her because I love that for myself. Like, that's one of the things, like watching somebody like that inspires me.
It inspires me too.
So I love her. I love Shea Coulee and Peppermint. So I'm like,
I can't believe you don't like Trinity Taylor, girl.
I do not like her. I can't explain it. I don't have any interest in her. I have to say that I love the fact that Charlie Hyde's on there because you think I'm old, girl. Charlie Hyde makes me feel
old. Yeah, girl. Young. I feel like that would be like your like sister, girl.
My heart drops out to my cuckoo.
My much older sister. That would be
your girl. She's like your twin, except she paints a little prettier.
So. the one, you know, our girlfriend Monica Foster, Mars Foster, she insists that I'm Alexis Michelle. She's like, Alexis Michelle is obviously clearly much younger than me, but in terms of her presentation, like body shape, the like when she wore that lavender hair, like da 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 da, I definitely could see, like,
I don't know. I feel like you're more like traditional drag than she is.
Maybe.
And I feel, well, as far as like your looks go, personality wise, I think she is a little bit more intentionally obnoxious or abrupt, and you're kind of just accidentally.
Well. So okay, the other thing that I saw about the show, and I think that you get to see it right away. Girl, how come, like, Eureka once again, like...
Girl, can she get off the show, too? I am so annoyed by Eureka. Bye. Everything's got to be about Eureka.
Well, why...
I swear.
Why is it that, like...
I feel like she's giving a really bad name to big girls.
But the thing is, like, big girls on the show already have that bad name. They're, like, the bitter...
No, not Latrice.
Right.
Latrice is the biggest one, girl. She gets everything.
But there's, like... Like, so many of the big girls that they've cast come across as that, like, bitter fat chick.
Like Delta.
Hey, this is Delta Work, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio with Poyo and Pearl, brought to you by Left Magazine.
I love Delta, but she definitely got played that way. And, you know, and Darian wasn't very nice
at
times.
Ginger wasn't really like that.
But Ginger was perceived as that because Ginger was right. super direct with all those young children that were on her season. Right. And all those little kids who loved Pearl were like, leave her alone. You're mean. Whatever. But the thing is, like, I don't know. This is my belief. There's no way you can edit something into the show that's not actually happening. So she literally said something horrible about every single fucking person right. as they walked in.
Like except for Lady Gaga, where she wanted to cry.
Well,
so she could bring him back to her.
Well,
girl, bye. Get out. And she didn't even really cry. I did not see one tear.
Well, that's why I said, like, I tweeted, I was like, she said something horrible about every single person on the show, with the exception of the celebrities. I said, right. that bitchy bumpkin is really fucking starstruck, okay?
Right.
And I was not impressed with her, like, trailer trash look.
That was awful.
I didn't like it at all. But, so, there's a lot of girls on the show right now.
But some of her other stuff, I will say, is impressive. I'm not a big fan of her hairstyles. Like, her, like, her Gaga look was all right.
I thought it was weak. I did think that was a whole lot of black and white vinyl, bitch. God damn.
And then her white was cute.
Yeah. So what I definitely recognize, and you can, if you're watching at home, you know it as well. There are girls on the show who stand out to you, and there are girls on the show that I watched two episodes last night and don't even remember who they are.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see it play out. Of course, spoiler alert. The first one to go home was the one that everybody was dogging on before the show even started.
I really don't like that happened. Like, that sucks. So,
it was James Mansfield was the first one to go home.
But, and I get it.
But this is the thing that I said about, like, her.
Go ahead. You go first.
Well, I was just going to say that she is one of these girls who, in her mind, is a camp queen. She's like, I'm campy and funny. And I said, honey, just because you look like you're always about to fall down does not make it campy. Mm-hmm. Like, being campy is about an entire presentation, and it's about the way you approach things. And nothing about her presentation was particularly campy, for the most part, except she constantly looked like she was about to fall down.
Although RuPaul did say her video
yes.
was one of the funniest audition tapes she's ever seen.
And I believe that.
Like she said, it just didn't read well. I do think that even though Kimora beat her in the lip sync because she entertained better than her, I feel like what was in James Mansfield's closet is going to be so much more impressive than anything else Kimora Black has to show.
What I felt really,
which really sucks, except for her shoe game. Her shoes are fucking awful.
So, with James Mansfield, the one thing I would like to say that I thought about that lip sync, I thought James actually was slightly more campy during that performance mm-hmm. because she's lip-synced both parts right. and all this stuff. But what, first and foremost, you can tell by watching her that she may not have a great deal of performance experience because right. she looks like she lacked confidence on the stage. And the second thing that I would say about her, and what I believe was her ultimate downfall, she paid so fucking much attention to what Kimora was doing mm-hmm. that, like, when Kimora would move to the left, she would move to the left. Like, she wanted to be right in front of her.
Right.
How about the incredibly cringeworthy, awkward moment where Kimora goes down into, like, a drop. Flopped down.
Right.
It wasn't graceful. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't planned. It's just, she's like, oh, I'm supposed to be on the floor. Boonk.
Yeah.
And
it was nerves. I think it was nerves.
It was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And MGM, you guys, one of my besties, MGM Grand, of course, did all the research on these girls. And he has been watching James Mansfield's YouTube channel, mm-hmm. which I guess is extremely popular. But he showed me one of her videos, and she's like, it's uncomfortable almost to watch the video. Like, there's something about her, the way her presentation is, I think that
her voice is crazy.
Well, yeah. So, after all of this is said and done, though, like, this is exactly how it went on my Twitter. I was, like, sort of tweeting in real time as I was watching it. And then her last thing was, remember, under all this drag, I'm still a human, so be kind. And I was like, God, don't I feel like a twat now? I mean, I would actually really love to have her on the show.
I was gonna say, we should have her on the show.
I would love to have her on the show because I don't want it to come across as it always does to people, that if you watch something on TV and it doesn't resonate with you, or the personality doesn't vibe with you, or you don't like the way they dress or look or whatever, that you hate the person. And I have nothing against this woman. I don't, right, like, I don't know her, but what I know is what I saw, and that I feel like she was cursed with being cast too soon for her. She did not have the stage presence. She didn't have the self-confidence. She didn't have, like, the repertoire, including, in my opinion, an understanding of what it takes to really be campy.
Right.
She's probably one of those girls who can do all that at home, but in front of other people, she, like, second guesses it. And
this is why I think, you know, I think pageant girls are really good for this show because, you know, they're used to being under pressure, like, not exactly like this, but like this, and able to still kind of, like, perform and be easy about who they are.
Okay, so you guys, the last thing I want to talk about is RuPaul's Drag Race Adjacent. I don't know if you've seen this, Pearl, but today,
of course,
Tuesday, what?
Of course, this. Oh, no, yeah, I saw this.
Girl, TMZ broke the news that Adore Delano is suing her manager for allegedly stealing millions of dollars.
Right.
Now,
I'm not the biggest Adore Delano fan.
I'm not either.
But I do know she's like the first drag queen to reach like a million followers on like Instagram or Twitter, one of the two, which RuPaul hadn't even done or something at the time.
She's wildly popular.
Yeah. But I don't know.
So,
I don't know.
I don't know the details of it, but how about I give you a little insight into what I do know? The person who, and this is going to bite us in the ass because he manages everybody, maybe until today, apparently.
Right.
But there was a gentleman by the name of David Charpentier. Mimi, I'm First, introduced me to him years ago. He was a friend of hers, and when she was on the show, after coming off, she made him her manager.
Okay.
He was his first client. So he begins managing Mimi. Then Mimi introduces him to other queens, and eventually David's now managing like a significant number of queens. Well, within 2 or 3 years, he had kicked Mimi to the curb, like couldn't be bothered with her anymore, and had basically created a monopoly of managing like 80% of the girls from Drag Race. So he is making mad cash because he gets a booking fee for every girl he sends out.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got almost everybody. So you want somebody, like you pay that $5,000 to book so-and-so, Adore Delano, or $10,000, because that's what he was charging. I asked to book her like a number of years ago, and he told me $10,000, and I was like, it was for her full band. We were gonna have them come and do.
I was gonna say, girl, that bitch is not worth no $10,000.
No, but it was when I was producing Pride Night at Great America. I wanted her to be one of the headliners, and I wanted her and her full band to come and do their whole show.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
And he was like, it'll be $10,000 plus, you know, that's not including all the flights and shit. So he's booking her for $10,000. He's probably getting at least 10% of that, if not more. So you know he is making mad cash, honey.
Right.
So I don't know about the actual dealings of her or this. I didn't even actually click on this thing, but I saw the headline. And what I will say is it's possible that what I have been told, not specifically about him, but about someone else by Fifi O'Hara, is that actually, it might have been him. I think it was actually David. That David frequently will turn down offers for her because he couldn't get these like really huge fees. And so instead of sending her out to work for a fairly affordable rate, she would be sitting at home doing nothing. And he didn't care because he would be like, oh, you don't want to pay that? Well, we've got this girl who's like comes in for less money or this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So I'm wondering if part of her thing isn't that she found out that he's been turning down significant numbers of things, because you know it's hard for somebody to steal $1 million from you without you knowing, but it is entirely possible for somebody to turn down so much shit that you're like,
it would add up to a million dollars.
3 years in, you've turned down so many gigs that I could have made an extra friggin' $1 million.
Right.
Girl,
That is shady boobs.
But, I mean, it's one of those things. It's because, you know, he gets a percentage of the cut, so he doesn't probably want to put the effort in if he's not going to be making a lot of money.
Right.
And why would you? Like, you also stop promoting people because you get the next hottest thing. And
that's fucked up, girl.
But it's business. I'm not saying David's completely in the wrong, but there is part of that where you're like, you need to have an understanding with every client that's like, okay, I'm going to ask for this amount, but if I can't get that, would you take this or this? Because as Fifi told me a long time ago, girl, just contact me directly because...
I heard that.
If I'm going to be sitting at home on a Saturday night instead of working, and you're offering me, you know, a fun experience and like... And we're still not talking cheap, girl. Like, if you're offering me $1,000 instead of $3,000...
Right, I'll take it.
I will take it, because I'm going to be sitting at home making $0, and, you know... Anyway. Okay, you guys. We are way behind, and we are about to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have with us Kim Sims on the line.
All right.
Yes, Miss Kim Sims. We're going to get it turned up in here, honey.
I'm down.
Oh, she really came that way?
All right.
My name is Alyssa Edwards.
All right.
I'm known as the Vanessa Williams of drag.
All right.
I am here to show people I still got it.
All right.
I need to
get up in this gig, girl.
My name is Alyssa Edwards, and this is Party Styles Radio.
I don't get cute. I get drop dead gorgeous.
Hello?
Kim, can you hear us?
I can hear you, Playo. Yes. How are you?
We are good. Pearl and I are both here. We are so excited.
Hey, Pearl.
Hi.
You guys, it's Kim Sims on the line with us.
Hey.
What's going on, Kim?
Well, I have an early flight in the morning, so I figured that I would get myself all ready for my conversation with you guys. I put on a little pink lipstick, so, you know, I didn't look too bad while I was talking to you.
I love a little pink lip, girl.
I thought I would just lay back and lounge as we do a little chatting this evening.
Okay, girl, so let me tell you, Turn It Up is worth the wait.
Thank you. Oh, that makes me feel so good. I was so excited about this song, and for so many reasons, you know, and it's a different, you know, side of Kim Sims, and, you know, I just, Leo Frappier just went in there and just slapped it all together, and it's just been such a wonderful journey up to this point, and I haven't really been out on social media much today because I've been kind of busy getting prepared for Miami Pride, but I just actually, right before you guys called, I was looking at some of the posts, and everybody's been so wonderful, and they, you know, they're gravitating, and it sounds like everybody's really digging it, so I am so happy.
Yeah, you mentioned that this track is a little bit of a different side of you. We know, of course, kind of that old freestyle vibe that you sort of gave out early on, and your very housey vibe, middle of career and even more recent. But this is like, it's definitely a dance track, and I don't want to misrepresent it for the audience out there, it's got like horns in it, and like, you know, it's kind of, I don't even know what word to use for it, but it's...
I don't either. I don't know. It's just, it's everything, right? That's maybe... It's everything. I think it's everything. It gives you a little jazzy, a little funky, a little dancey, a little poppy, don't you think? A little soul.
It's a little fusion.
It's just really good. Yes, fusion. I love it. Yes, that's perfect.
But, and it's funny because when I was thinking, I'm like, okay, it has like, you know... It's one of those things where I'm like, okay, you strip out some of these synthesizers, she could do this in a jazz version of this. You know, she's got...
You know what? That's right.
You know, it's like, you, you know, and it, of course, like, your soulful vocals are there, and, like, everything that just... Thank everything you. That we would look for in a Kim Sims record in 2017.
Oh, Playo, thank you so much. Thomas Arambula, you know, wrote this one as well as Deep in the City, and he, I can't say enough about him because he's just such a wonderful human being, first and foremost. But he wrote the song, and he said he wrote it with me in mind. He says, girl, we got to, you know, just do something different and get everybody turned up. And so, you know, he told me what he wanted. He said, I want you to sing it Jim Sim style. He says, and this is what I hear. He said, just go in there and make it yours. And Leo was so gracious, you know, with the production. And so, it was really, really easy to get it done, if you know what I mean. It all just kind of meshed together. And here we are on April the 4th. Is this the 4th or the 5th? Heck, I don't know. Yeah, April 4th. And we're all turned up. So there you go.
And don't you worry if you're a listener out there who loves Kim on a house track, because I have it on good faith from LP Vargas that there are going to be some sick remixes of this track, honey.
Honey, you don't understand. Let me tell you. First of all, I am totally computer challenged, okay? I would rather write with a pen and a piece of paper. All of this internet, this is just too much for the girl, okay? So he sends me, you know, the remix tracks. And I'm telling you both, Pearl and Pearl, it's like a calamity in itself watching me try to download. I mean, this is a movie in itself, honey. This is a reality show, I'm telling y'all. And so 20 hours later, he goes, did you hear? I was like, no, I can't even open them up. Well, so finally today, Scott Featherstone, which is a young man in the UK, he sent his, and he sent it directly to my messenger, so that would be easy. I could just listen to it on there, and it's fire. But I finally got to hear Dirty Disco, and I also have GSP, which I heard a couple of days ago. Oh, my God, Pearl, Pearl, you all do not understand. These remixes are fire. Do you hear me? Not fire. Fire, yes. They are beyond fabulous.
How many?
I've only heard three.
I'm telling you. How many are there going to be total?
Okay, now let's see. Here goes the challenge one again. I want to say that we've got 8 maybe, but I could be short one or maybe over one. So let's say 8 to be safe. But let me tell you, they are, the way they're coming in, the ones that I've heard, there are a few that, as I said, I haven't been able to hear. They are so good. And you know what's cool about them is, you know, what I may not give to someone in the original mix that may be a, you know, house kid or, you know, the EDM or the, you know, the dance, you're going to get it in these remixes, honest to goodness, because I'm telling you, they are, the ones I've heard are on fire.
That, you know, honestly, that is one of the things that I've always loved about dance music in general, because you can put out one track and it sounds, you know, the original sounds like this poppy fusion type of jazzy thing we were talking about earlier. And then when the artist gives the vocals and pieces to 10 different DJs, every DJ hears that song differently. And it's like, you know, sometimes, like, I've had situations before where I'll be a couple of minutes into a song that I'm listening to, and I'm like, ooh, girl, this is, like, it's working me out.
Right.
And then I actually realized it was a remix of a song I had done, like, my own, you know. And it's like, because that really happened to me one time, because all of a sudden, you know, because the DJ would only put, like, a snippet of a word or a word.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, right. That's true. Yeah. And, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that is the beauty of it. That's why when these remix packages come out, there's something, and it's intentional. There's something for everyone, and I love that.
For everybody, you're so right. And that, it blows my mind because, you know, you get so used to the original, you know, as you say, you get the, and it's in your head. It just amazes me, as you just said, how the DJs come with their own interpretation. You know, it's like dance. Everybody has their way, their interpretation of certain dances or the sound that they hear makes them move a certain way. But it's just amazing to me how they come up with the tracks. And I tell you, I did a ton of ad-libs, and you know, all I could hear was, you know, just singing the ad-libs over and over, not really thinking of where they would be placed. And when I tell you, listen, I had to listen to those a couple of times. I said, was that me? Ew, you better work, bitch. What? I was just like, wow. So, yeah, it's amazing. And as I said, what may appeal to some with the original and may not to others, they gonna find it in that remix pack. I can guarantee.
And it's such an evolution of music since you started your career in, like, the early 90s. Yeah. Because back then, yeah, they'd be like, this song comes with 5 remixes. It'd be all the exact same version, but they'd be like 7 minutes right, long or 4 minutes long. Right. Or it was the exact same song.
The radio edit.
That's so true. Yes. It's crazy. A different world now, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. That's why people put out, like, you know, they only worried about putting out an EP because one song is actually 14 songs.
Right.
When you get different people.
That's true. It's true. It just blows my mind because the industry has changed so much. And what's so cool about this new song is that it's on my label, and I'm just so proud of it. It's called Diva Down Records and Publishing. Diva Down. And it was, I don't know if we came up with it because I was down and out at the time emotionally, or if I was like, you know, maybe even almost turning it around saying this diva ain't down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it just worked. And it's just having your own say-so and just doing it the way you want to and having it be embraced by people you know want you to be successful and want you to you know, soar. It's amazing. It makes me emotional because it's truly been an evolution for me. And I'm just happy. I'm happy in this moment. I told LP Vargas, my manager, which you guys know, but I told him, I said, if the Lord could take me now, I could say I'm happy. So don't let the Lord take you until after the remixes come out and we do this video. I'm like, oh, and then I can die, huh?
He's like, we're done with you now.
Okay.
So
we're done with you. But yes, it's been a great journey for sure.
It's you bring up a point that always makes me think about, because, you know, I think that when an artist is new and, like, the hot new thing on the scene, of course,
yeah,
they're inundated with people who support them and
right,
and want to sort of, I don't know if they want to see them succeed, but they want to ride their success if they do.
Yes.
And then, mm-hmm, you know, the longer you stay in the industry, you discover that while there may not be millions of people who are clamoring to, yes, see what you're doing next,
yes,
the people, mm-hmm, who are still there to support you are truly believing in what you're doing and truly do, mm-hmm, want to see you and help you succeed,
yes,
if they can.
Yes.
It's a very different experience.
Baby. Speak. Yes. Speak. It's so true. You know, and I have to tell you, the children have reincarnated Jim Sims. I mean, you all never left. And it's been so amazing, you know. Everybody asked me, they talk about a comeback. I can BB and I were talking about this the other day. I said, no, it's a back at. I ain't never been nowhere. I'm just back at it. And you all can, you know, maybe someone else can see it. But through it all, you know, the children, the community has been so diligent and so fierce and so wonderful, you know, to me. And I'm just so grateful. And, you know, you know, being in the industry, you know, you begin to weed out who you know belongs in your camp, and those that you don't know belong in your camp, they tend to weed themselves out, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
You know? And I've got the GM crew, honey. I was saying the other day, you know, I've got my little slippers on. They're not Dorothy's ruby slippers, but I feel like Dorothy. And I said, I'm not with Toto 2. I'm with the GM crew, okay? And that's how I feel. I feel like I'm Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and I've got all of my wonderful, wonderful friends and people that want me to be successful and, you know, just want to see the rise and shine of whatever this is to be. And that, it just feels good. It just feels really good.
Can you tell us the moment that you realized you kind of wanted to start your own label and just kind of like your thought process of getting that started?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I think I always lived with the, you know, with the what if, oh, maybe not. You know, some people stand in their own way.
Right.
Because they fear that they'll fail. I think I'm one of those people. It might be hard to believe, but I think I've always stood in my own way for fear of, you know, or doubting something. And, you know, I've never been one that wanted to research any damn thing. I just, you know, I like instant gratification.
Right.
And I just want everything to just fall into place. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it had a, I would like to say, well, let me just say this. I think I was lazy. I think I was lazy in the game for a little while because I, you know, I was depending on others who were depending on me getting them to another level. But in essence, you know, they were leaving me behind and I just didn't realize it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you hear me, y'all? Am I right?
Yes.
Let me start now. Don't let me start. Get off that soapbox, Kim. But, it, you know, the thing is, I think in the last five years, I put out tracks. Ain't nobody know about them damn tracks. And I put them out on different people's labels. And I was, just because they were interested. I'm like, oh, my God, you want me? You know, and I wasn't thinking. I wasn't, like, thinking, well, shoot, if they doing it, why can't you do? I wasn't in that moment. And just in the last 2 years, I, you know, put out some stuff. And then, you know, Thomas and LP and all of the people that I was surrounding myself with, you know, we just all started talking and we're like, well, shoot, why don't you just do it yourself? I mean, and then I can do this and I'm good at this. You know, everybody had a place that they could be helpful to me, you know, and then I realized I sat on something for so long that I could have done a long time ago. I do believe timing is everything, and maybe I didn't do it back then because I really wasn't ready, you know. However, now I realize I probably was, but I'm not going to beat myself up over it. I'm just going to say that in this moment in time, I should have my record label. I have it, and I move forward, and I don't look back at what I didn't do. I'm just going to not do what I didn't do going forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to let you off the hook because I have a different perspective on this.
Come on now.
Because there are some people who are immensely talented as a songwriter or a musician or a vocalist, in your case.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is what their passion is. So they blossom most readily when they are partnered with people, as you have just pointed out, who have the skills to compensate for the areas that don't interest them, simply don't interest them. And so,
that's right.
So if you are in a situation like that, and you were very young and you were discovered and you were, you know, this imagery was created for you and all of the work was done for you. So you only had to show up and do what you were passionate about, which is perform and entertain the people. And then,
that's right. You better tell it. Yeah.
And then over time, you know, it's the way of the world. A lot of that goes away because there's somebody, when you're 20, there is somebody who is 19, honey, who wants that job, you know, and it's like, it's the way of the world.
Yes.
And, and so now you are in a situation where you have brought a lot of life experience with you. And so you may simply be better equipped to do those things for yourself that you could not have done when you were 25. Yep. You know?
Well, you know what you better say, honey. You said just what I was thinking. That's right. You're right. That's the truth. You are absolutely right. It's life experience, and I thank you for letting me off the hook because I tell you, I believe that. I believe that my dad, God rest his soul, he used to do everything for me. I was the spoiled. I was a baby. I was spoiled. You know, the tires flat, my dad's out there fixing it. He filled my car up with gas, picked me up after school, never let me ride the bus. I mean, so for me, it was like, I think I was being set up for the life I was, you know, intended to lead. And having been on a major label back in the day, they were setting me up, and, you know, all I had to do was, like you said, show up and show out, you know. And so it does, for me, it did just keep me focused on what it was I was doing. But you know what I have to say, in the meantime, I was focusing on the wrong thing all the time. I should have been focusing on several things, but that has to do with being young and being green and youth. But, you know, I would like to hope that the younger generation and some of the younger performers come out here that are singing and are writing or whatever, that they pay attention to the whole business, this business we call music, or this music we call business, whichever way you want to do it. I just would hope that they would pay attention, because it would make them continue to be fruitful in their older age if they pay attention to their business early on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I think about, I had someone say to me, well, not literally say it, but infer, you know, that when they mention someone, well, that person is relevant. Everybody's relevant. You know, when you don't look at someone else and say, you know, you're less relevant, maybe it's just not that person's time. But when people use words like that, you know, that bothers me, because, you know, I don't look to man for my relevancy, if that's the word. You know what I mean? And it's hard to watch certain things take place and think back on, God, I wish I could have done it different then. But I know that's what being young is all about. If we knew everything when we were in our 20s, you know, we'd have nothing to look forward to, you know, as we get older. But
that's right,
if
girl.
What'd you say now?
Girl, she's just, you know.
Pearl's always trying to tell me how old I am and shit. Girl. I'm like, I don't mind that one bit, because there's a lot that comes with that.
Whatever,
come
girl.
Come on now. Yes, it does. It's a lot. And, you know, I tell you, for me, it feels good. I like feeling like I'm smarter. You know what I mean? I like feeling like I'm, you know, like I know what I'm talking about. And because I've lived it. My daughter and I talk, and she listens to me now. It blows my mind. I'm like, you know, wow, you listening to me? But she said, but Mommy, you really get it. You understand. You know, that you've been here. You know what's going on. And I just would hope that a lot of these young folks that are, as I said, coming up in the industry, and heck, still with us, me, people at my age or younger, old, you know, if you're doing it, just be cognizant of the whole scheme of things. And don't, you know, you can perfect your craft, your vocal craft, but you gotta be diligent with the business side as well.
But you know what? Like that statement about relevance. Like, on one hand, I definitely understand what they mean. There's like a contemporary element of relevance. Like,
yes.
You're what's happening right now. But
yes.
One of the things that I know from a firsthand situation is that the music that appeals to me doesn't necessarily appeal to everyone else.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
there's probably never been a song that's ever been recorded that wasn't somewhere's favorite song.
Yes. Right.
And girl,
that's right.
If you're a real artist, all it takes is that song to hit just the right person and make a difference in their life,
right.
And it made it okay.
Yes, it did. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. It just, I think because of the... And it could have something to do with being more mature, but because of, you know, words are so powerful.
Amen.
They're powerful, you know what I mean? And when you speak it, I like to be able to speak it and live it, you know, live behind what I say, my words. And, you know, to say someone is relevant or not relevant to me is, it's bigger than me liking jazz or me liking R&B. You know, we're human beings. We all are relevant, you know, to somebody, you know. So when you talk about I don't like dance music, or somebody talks about I don't like R&B, I don't like it, that's cool. But when you hone in and you look at that person and you know, you say, well, you know, you just aren't relevant in the scheme of things. I think that's just cold. You know what I mean?
It's rude.
And I just think
it's rude.
It is. It's rude. It's cold. And there's a way to talk to people, and there's a way to, and I think this has this piggybacks a lot on me and getting the label too, doing my own label, because see, I can look in the mirror and I can talk about me to me, and I ain't gonna slap myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if somebody's standing in front of me telling me that I'm not relevant, I might want to just throw down on that fool.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, so at the end of the day, I think having that control and feeling like you're the boss of you and your relevance is, you know, it feels good. It feels good. And I think that's kind of where I'm going with that whole relevance, or, you know, you were then, but you're not now. I think as long as you can, you know, you're only as good as your last song anyway. And that's anybody, you know, whether you big, little, or in between. But as long as I'm still out here and I'm pushing and I'm trying, I mean, I think my relevant train is pretty relevant.
All right. So does that mean we have even more songs to look forward to coming up?
Well, I was hoping that you and I were going to do a little something on stage.
Girl,
yes.
I don't sing.
Well, I
do not. I mean, I could do, like, I could try to do, like, little talking in the back vocals, maybe, but girl.
Yeah, I think we need to do something. Yes, I feel it. But yeah, you know what, Thomas, has, you know, we're calling ourselves the face of the 2017. You know, he's Babyface, and I'm whoever the artist was that Babyface wrote for us at the end of the day. But he writes with me in mind. I mean, I write, of course, and I've written some things, so I may very well, you know, do some of the material that I've written. But I feel like it ain't broke, so we ain't going to fix it. So we're going to continue to ride the Tommy Two-Tone writing side of things. And just, you know, stay with the really great remixers, the Paul Goodyears, the Tweeka Turners, the Leo Frappier production. God, you know, and just getting out there and just giving it to the people, you know, and hoping that everybody still enjoys it when we put it out. So I'm definitely going to, I think I'm going to have maybe one or two more out this year.
Well, you know, the other thing that I would say that is, must feel very good and rather empowering about having your own label and taking control of your own life is that now you get to surround yourself with people who legitimately want to see you succeed, that there's
right.
There's a synergy with them, and you have, you know, it's one of those things where you find teams of people throughout history who have always worked better when they're together than apart, you know, and you now get to pull those people into your life. You're like, you know what? Whether it's a remixer and you say, I really like what they do and they bring something new and genuine to what I'm putting out. Or it's,
that's,
you know,
right.
And you get to pick and choose. Whereas when somebody else is calling the shots, they might not care whether you even like a person, whether
right.
you even like the
that's
damn song.
Right.
They're like, this
that's
is what we're
right.
doing, girl. You better
yes.
get in there and sing, you know.
Yes, you're so right. It's so true. I mean, I think about, all I could think about was, okay, I want Bougie and I want Paul and I want Tweet. You know, all of the people that gave Deep in the City life, you know, I just feel like they're the GM crew, you know what I mean? It's a no-brainer, you know? And people, we've gelled. I just feel like a connection. And, you know, I've got some new folks on, too. As I said, there's a young man overseas, Scott Featherstone, oh my God, he threw down my homeboy in Chicago, Derek Jones. He's gonna do a Chicago mix for me, you know. So it's getting people that I know that are, they've been riding with me for over 30 years, you know, and have always wanted to see me, you know, continue to be successful. Those are the people that I want in my life, and even the newbies that have just come on. they just like family. You know what I mean? It's just been really, really amazing. And I feel the love in their remixes. I can tell that they put their hearts and souls into it. You know what I mean? So that makes it even better.
You know, girl, you are getting ready to take this. The song just dropped literally today. It'll be tomorrow for you listeners because we're talking on Tuesday. It just dropped today, but you are already going to be one of the headliners at Miami Pride. You will be turning it up for the gays and lesbians, transgender, bisexuals, and everyone.
Yes, honey. Oh, so tomorrow night, which will be, Wednesday night, I'll be singing at Patrick Galineau. It's with Stoli. And so they're doing the Key West Classic bartender competition. Anyway, so they've been doing it all over different states and all. And so I'll be singing and judging for that tomorrow in Miami. And then on the... Saturday is, of course, Pride, and I in Miami, and I will be on the main stage singing for the children, honey, and I am premiering Turn It Up on stage that Saturday night, and then I'm going to be in the parade the next day with the winner of the Key West Classic, I guess, from all the different states. They'll pick the winner. And whoever wins will be in the parade, and I'm going to be doing the pageant wave with them as we ride through the streets. And I am just like turned up on a whole different level, honey. I ain't turned up. I'm turned. I'm so excited.
And I'm going to tell you one thing to think about when we get off the air. You know as well as I do that there are people who are my age who lived. Honey, we lived too blind to see it back in the day. But there are children that you're going to be singing for this Saturday in Miami Pride who have never heard of that song, never heard of Kim Sims. But when they walk away, the song that they could be thinking about is like, ooh, that Turn It Up song is fierce, girl.
It's a song. That's right.
Who is this new artist?
Yes, I know. Let me tell you, I thought about that. And I was telling my kids, and they were laughing. They like, Mama, you're going to be fine. You're going to go up there, and you're going to kill them. But it's funny because when I was in Sacramento last September, I did the Rainbow Festival. Ronnie Schaefer, shouts out to you, Ronnie. Such a lovely man. Anyway.
We love Miss Ronnie.
He had me, I got on stage, and first thing I said, when I walked out there, I realized, you got to kind of look your crowd over because you got to know who to appeal to. So I saw all my age-appropriate folks, and they were standing in the front. So I was like, oh, yeah, I got my people in the front. And then, you saw some of the younger folks. And so my famous line was, I said, okay, I know half of y'all don't even know who the hell I am, but you gonna know me after I get done. That's for damn sure. You weren't even born when my first song came out. But you're here now. So, I'm looking at it like that. I know a lot of them will not know who I am, but I'm hoping to get up there and slay and not play, and that they will walk away with a whole different vibe, and they'll be excited about Kim Sims, and those millennials will put me back on point.
Okay. Well, girl, we are so excited that you came and joined us again.
Thank you. I thank you all so much. I really do.
You are in a very small collective of people who are multiple time guests on our show. We just love chatting with you. You said LP asked, and I said, oh, girl, she is so easy to talk to and so much fun.
Send her on over.
She's a gag, girl.
Yes. Yes, and you know what, you guys, I feel the same way when he told me I was going to be talking to y'all again. I was like, cool, because it's like chit-chat, and like I said, I put on a little pink lipstick, and I'm laying here in my bed. I feel like we're all just sitting here together eating popcorn and chewing bubble gum and just talking,
Yes, come on, slumber party.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
I said, come on, slumber party.
Right.
Yes,
another slumber party, that's right.
So, well, we wish you the best, and we will... Do you mind if we include a snippet of Turn It Up in this podcast so the kids can hear it?
Honey, you better. You know I don't mind, baby. Yeah, play the whole song. I don't care. We want the world to play that song. Yes, thank you. And I thank you so much. I appreciate you all so very much. much. And I just want to thank the LGBTQ community for supporting and holding Kim Sims down for all these years. Bless you all. And turn it up. Go get it.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Kim. Bye.
Okay, thanks, guys. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yes, for ma'am. Sure. Bye, honey.
Alrighty. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, that was Kim Sims, and at her absolute demand, we are going to go and turn it up for y'all so you can hear her brand new single. It's available now on iTunes and all online retailers. So it's KYMSIMS. Check her out and check out her new single, Turn It Up.
Turn it up. Just a little bit more. Yeah.
Did you come to party, feel the groove, and shake it up? It's time to come together, 'cause we're here to turn it up. Stand up, everybody. Stand up and turn it up. Music is the key, let it set your body free. In your soul, let the music take control. Do you feel it? Oh, I can feel it. Yeah.
You guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poya Dalmar.
And I'm Pearl Seas.
And we just heard the brand new single, Turn It Up, from Kim Sims. It is available now on all online retailers. Go check it out. KYMSIMS. support her, y'all. So, and fuck whoever said she's not relevant. Girl, you know what? That actually, the only thing I could think about the whole time she was talking about that was that thing I'd said earlier in the interview is that, like, when you start out, everybody's, like, riding your fucking coattail and, like, hot on your ass. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we love you.
Right.
But then, you know, over time, like, everything, things change. And then somebody's going to tell you you're not relevant. Well, girl, whoever's relevant right now won't be relevant in 5 minutes. Like,
right.
You have to work your ass off to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And, hello, she said she was lazy. The reality is she raised 2 kids, you guys. She went and fucking became a real person. Like, not everybody has, like, all the time in the world. Yeah, they have a real life. So, anyway. So, you guys, let us go now to our pre-recorded interview. They have a top 20 hit right now in the United States called Rockabye, and their brand new single called Symphony with Zara Larsson is out on iTunes, as well as there's a beautiful music video for it, you guys. Have you seen it, Pearl?
Yes.
It's like two men of color are in a romantic relationship. And
oh, it's kind of sad.
It's very sad. I cried while I was watching it. It's like, but the men are beautiful and the story's beautiful. And we talk about why she, you know, like they could have cast anybody. It could have been any couple. And they decided that they wanted it to be two men of color in a same-sex relationship. So we'll talk about all that with her in this pre-recorded interview. You guys, this is Grace from Clean Bandit on Party Foul Radio.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. You know, it's taken us a little while to get connected on the phone for this interview, but I have to tell you, I am so grateful that it happened after I had the opportunity to see you live last night in San Francisco.
Oh!
The show was incredible.
Oh my God, thank you so much. And yeah. Thanks for waiting. I'm sorry it's taken so long to get connected.
No, you know, I know that you guys are busier putting out a new album and you have an international tour that's happening right now, especially here in the United States. So tell me a little bit about what that whirlwind has been like since winning your Grammy last year.
It's been crazy. We've literally been all over the world. And seen so many places and so many kind of different cultures. Yeah, it has been a whirlwind. That's a good word for it. And now, I don't know, now we're kind of nearly finished our second album. And it all feels in a really good place. Very exciting. Because I started the band about 10 years ago. And, it's cool. Things are going well now.
Right. Well, I recently tweeted saying that what most people consider overnight success usually takes about 10 years of hard work, and you guys are absolute proof of that.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you guys are touring right now with Starley and Zara Larsson, and it seems like you guys have been sort of nursing the song Rockabye for a good long time. I keep up with the charts across the Atlantic over in Europe and whatnot, and you guys have had a huge success there, and it's still continuing to grow here, but you already have the new song Symphony with Zara out, and I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that track.
Well, it's kind of an emotional banger. it's much more, it's kind of bigger than Rockabye. Got this kind of symphonic. It's kind of, we wanted to make a song that you could cry to and dance to at the same time. And we used some of the same sounds that we used in Rockabye, which we love, and lots of strings, and just a huge, powerful vocal that Zara delivered. It's quite kind of epic, I think. videos ourselves as normal, and it's the first time we made a kind of narrative video. Well, yeah, normally our videos are a bit more abstract, but this was more of a narrative. So we were quite nervous about whether we could do it.
You were saying you have concerns because you're trying to tell this wonderful narrative without any actual dialogue in it, but the video is so beautifully done.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we were just a bit nervous about telling a story because normally we make kind of... Well, we did have a story in Rotherby as well, but it's a bit more abstract. And this, you know, we wanted to get across that he had died without it being too graphic. And, you know, just for it to make sense. But, yeah, I'm really pleased with how it came together. And the actors were amazing. Because normally we don't work with actors. Like, we often cast people for the videos, friends of ours, or I don't know, people we meet, like rather be some of the characters we just met in Tokyo when we were working out what to film, asked them to be in it and things. But this was, we auditioned loads of actors and they were all really amazing, and we all had to ask them to cry in the audition, and it was so moving. And it was really difficult to choose the actors, but I was so happy with both of them. They were so natural and so natural together.
You know, you mentioned when describing Symphony that you wanted a song that you could both cry to and dance to, and I have to admit that I did both last night at the show because, watching the performance, the strong imagery of the video, which is so moving to me, you know, came back to me in my mind. And I was standing there at the Fillmore in San Francisco crying and dancing simultaneously to that song.
Amazing. Our work is done.
Yeah, so I know that much earlier in your career, you really started to amass a significant following within the LGBT community, in part because, you know, a third of the group was an out member of our community. And in many ways, it felt since his exit, like, in my mind, I felt like, oh, they're really, through the Symphony video, letting us know that we are still valued in their world as their fans, as their audience. I felt it really sent a strong message of support to our community.
Yeah, well, I think it really, gay men of color are a really underrepresented group in mainstream pop kind of culture. And so we wanted to, we wanted to cast two male black actors for the role. It feels a special piece to us. And I think so many music videos are about heterosexual lovers. It's not really representative of the real world.
I think when most people think about Clean Bandit, we think of your collaborations with people like Jess Glynn, who, of course, is her own individual artist, as is Zara Larsson. And you have recorded with both. But last night in concert, you had two female vocalists on stage with you. And I was wondering if they have been added to the band in terms of the standard vocalists who will be appearing with you in the future. Because I was rather surprised. I think of Clean Bandit as predominantly a trio, but there were more than three of you on stage last night, that's for sure.
We're always expanding, and it's never been a trio. started the band, there were seven people. And gradually, they've all gone. And but we, since we, originally we had a lead singer, but he was at the time studying to be a, he was studying chemical engineering, doing a doctorate. And so he didn't have time and had to leave. But we do still work with him. But at that point, we had to open it up into a kind of collective where we call on different voices for every song, including him. He was the singer of our song, Mozart's House and Telephone Banking. And actually, we have a whole album with him that we never really recorded, that we made at the beginning for it, rather than being limited by having to write a song for one particular voice. So it's kind of quite freeing creatively like that. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I think certainly having access to the incredible women that are touring with you and a variety of other people like Zara Larsson and Jess Glynn and these incredible vocalists and talented artists in their own right is that it allows, I think, Clean Bandit as a collective to potentially go in many different directions where, you know, audiences, unlike some groups or acts where you really know in advance what you're going to get, like, I think it would seem to offer a lot of opportunities to you guys.
Yeah, because they all bring their own personality as well, and that just takes each song in a new direction, as you say. And we're also working with several different violinists now. The show that you saw last night, we had one, Stephanie Benedetti, but we had because the tour buses in America are smaller than the tour buses in Europe. So we've had to cut down our band a little bit for this tour. But we're going to be potentially touring with a string quartet. So they all bring their own personality and style to the show as well. So
yeah, one of the things that really strikes me about, because the acts that I think that quite often you would find yourself being compared with by people who are not well informed about the composition of Clean Bandit are acts that are largely more electronica based. And you guys were all playing live instruments on stage. It was incredible. And I think that in some ways, like the kind of influx of different thoughts or whatever, I would have to think, as an artist, would be very exciting in terms of, like, spurring creativity and kind of guiding you in different directions that other acts might not be able to take because the group is so static.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets different people provide inspiration and that would extend people and it can get static.
So, now, I know that you guys have, you said last night when you were at the Fillmore that San Francisco and that particular venue are one of your favorites in the world. Is that what you say everywhere you go, or is there a reason why the Fillmore and San Francisco are particular favorites of yours?
We just had a really, we played in the Fillmore before, and it was really the standout gig of our tour in the US. There's something about the venue and just being in the bay, so such a romantic feeling. we love the chandeliers, the strobing chandeliers, and yeah, I think the main reason is that when we performed last time, the energy was just so great.
Yeah, one of the things I always recognize when I'm there is, first of all, that building is so historic, like legitimately a who's who of legendary acts have performed there. And it feels almost like that's sort of seeped into the venue. And audiences I know who attend shows there are always like looking to discover new artists or new acts and support those people. Like, that's why I thought it was so brilliant, for example, that Starly was on tour with you and was there, because she's somebody I've been really kind of keeping a little bit of an eye on as well. And three artists, three acts, an incredible overall night show. And I think people may have come to see you, but they discovered other people that they're going to love in the future too.
Yeah, she is amazing. I'm like obsessed with her. This is like her first proper tour, but she's just so, like, she was born on the
tour. Really hoping that you guys were going to bring her out and like she would join you for a song or a surprise or something like that.
Oh my god, that's such a good idea. Maybe we should do that.
We're a thousand miles from comfort. We have traveled land and sea. But as long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be.
You guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poyo Delmar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
Oh, that was Grace from Clean Bandit. They are Grammy Award winners, and they're touring North America now, right now, at this very moment, with Zara Larsson and Starly. Go check out all three artists. They're very much worth your time.
Yes.
So check them all out. You'll really enjoy their music. I can almost guarantee it. I do feel like I should owe you guys a slight apology for the recording quality of that interview. You should know that we were originally scheduled 2 weeks ago for an interview, and then that got rescheduled because they went back to the UK. And now that they're in the United States on tour, we were scheduled to speak at 1:30 in the afternoon while they were still in San Francisco before they hit the road to LA. But as things happen in the industry, they got pushed around. So by the time Grace was actually available, I almost wasn't. So I set up our shoddy recording equipment and recorded that interview on the streets of San Francisco, which is why you can hear all that background noise. I do wish that it had not cut in and out, because she talked a little bit about her upcoming album. Clean Bandit has a new album. It will be out at the end of 2017. And she even gave us a preview in concert on Monday night here in San Francisco of a new song called Shoulda Known Better. It's a gorgeous breakup song. It's not even recorded yet, so be on the lookout for that. Meanwhile...
Well, that was another bomb episode.
It was a bomb episode. We failed to mention... I mean, of course, Swiss Navy got more than their lube's worth, girl.
Right. Like, well, I've been sitting here staring at it the entire
time. Still, the whole episode. But I do want to make sure you guys go... If you're in the Bay Area, and you... Specifically, if you're in the Castro...
And you need your haircut.
You know you better go check out Daddy's Barbershop. Tell Jesse and Arlen that we sent you from Party Foul Radio.
Tell them we said hi.
And, girl, did your friend go see Lorenzo by any chance? Remember when I posted that picture and their friend was like, oh, he is fine.
I don't remember.
So, well, girl, Lorenzo is fine. But there's all kinds of barbers there. There is a man for everyone at that barbershop. And, boom, a woman, too, because you need to go check out Adora. I love Adora. She's like, she's kind of like butch, but kind of femme. I don't know how to explain it. Like, her presence is butch, but her persona, her personality is femme. It's like...
That sounds like me.
It's like... Whatever, shut up. So anyway, I love her. So go check her out too, and especially if you go, you know, girl, there's all kinds of, have you ever heard of a male burlesque drag performer named Devil May Care? Devil May Care is like, he actually is a barber there too.
Oh, sick name.
So his name is Sean, so go check him out. Anyway, those are our sponsors at Daddy's Barbershop. Just lovely people. Like, I just love walking through the Castro and, like, bumping into the guys and gals from Daddy's because they're so freaking nice.
And don't forget to check out Left Magazine over at liveleft.com.
That's right. Now, 2 weeks ago, I promised you that we were going to have a Party Foul Radio promo special on the upcoming trip from alanchuck.com to go to Cuba. Well, Mimi I'm First is the one who's arranging that for us. It is still a go, you guys. My best friend and I are planning on going on this tour, on this cruise. And I want you guys to join us. But by next week, I will have you details about that promo thing. Mimi said that her computer crashed and she lost, like, everything. So she really is, as a result of this, way, way behind getting the information. But I'll guarantee you that we'll have that all for you guys next week. Because I want you to join me on alanchuck.travel's trip to Cuba in December. So there is definitely, that is something to look forward to. Plus, I don't know, did you see this, Pearl? That I think I told you, guidetogay.com, Australia's number one LGBTQ website, is coming on board as a media sponsor, making sure that Party Foul Radio is available down under, you guys. And all of those details will hopefully be ironed out by next week as well. There is a lot going on around here. Nonetheless, that means we're going to have information about Guide to Gay. That's GUIDETOGay.com. GuideToGay.com is going to be with us. Alan Chuck with the Cuba trip or vacation cruise in December. We're going to have details about that. And fingers crossed, we are going to have finalized date for our Lube Wrestling benefit and charity.
I still gotta get my ref outfit, girl.
Go do it, bitch. I do know somebody who has a half of a footlocker. It's like a
footlocker. Where'd she get it?
Well, it's a him, and he got it and cropped it, but it's like, it comes right under his titties, so maybe we could just get him, like...
And I'll just wear pasties underneath it.
Yeah, girl.
That'd be sickening.
Yes. Except for the fact that I would not be wanting to see it when our silicone-based lube from Swiss Navy made our pasties come off, and we'd be getting nippage.
I would be a little not having that.
Anyway, so much for next episode. And we're going to be having with us more celebrity guests, more gossip. Girl, we're going to have to update you guys on what's that going on with Adore Delano suing
her manager. Ooh, yes.
Child, that's something good. Plus, of course, you guys need to tune in to RuPaul's Drag Race on VH1 this Friday so we can all gossip about it next week.
Girl, and if you're not caught up, catch up so you can listen in.
Yeah, because we're sick of having to say, spoiler alert!
Right.
All right. With that said, I'm going to send Pearl on her way because, girl, I'm staring at this big bottle of Swiss Navy.
Girl, get out of here. You are so disgusting.
I think it's time to yank my yummy, okay, honey. Girl.
It's time to go, y'all. I'm hungry anyway.
I can't believe she still got an appetite after. It must be the imagining me yanking my yummy with my Ejacumax.
Girl, I said, got to go.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.